Hi. I live in Tucson. I'm so happy I didn't have to fly up here. I could drive places. Oh, it's so good to be here. I've heard so many things about CCV, and now I'm here. So I'm excited, as you are, I hope, for the weekend. They're life-changing events, trust me. Marriage, parenthood. We prayed that this is going to be meaningful, and it will be. Our topic is Have a Happy Family by Friday. It's a brand new book by Kevin Lehman, and it's a scam. You could have a happy family by Wednesday. And quite frankly, what I'm talking about tonight, the material comes out of basically this book, Have a Happy Family by Friday, but also Have a New Kid by Friday. Kids always love to see that in their home. Mommy, what's that about? And people always ask me, what's the best book you ever did? Sheet Music. It's a sex book for people who are married. What a revolutionary idea. But anyway, I've been married for 47 years in a row. We have 5 children. And we had, the in a row part's the hard part. Yeah, we have 5 kids. And we had a little surprise at age 42. Little Hannah, I was 44, my wife 42. And then we had the shocker when Sandy was 48 and I was 50. And by the way, ladies, when you have a baby at 48, no labor. No labor at all. I'm not kidding you. Achoo! Oh, what a beautiful daughter. One sneeze and you're there, you know what I'm saying? Sort of funny to think about. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, Williamsville, New York, to be exact. Graduated 4th in class in high school, which sounds pretty cool. Unfortunately, it was 4th from the bottom and not 4th from the top. One of my vivid memories is sitting in a reading group and watching the girl next to me with white paste. Remember that white paste that was like 3 inches tall? And she sat there with her index finger. And she's eating the paste. I remember thinking, I know I don't belong in this group. But God bless the school system. They just moved me through, and despite my efforts, I became a senior. And April of my senior year, I went and saw my guidance counselor. First time I'd met the gentleman, by the way. And I said, Mr. Messino, I too would like to go into a college on a university. He looked at me, pulled on his glasses, Lehman, with your grades and your record, I couldn't get you admitted to reform school. That was the end of the conversation. I applied to colleges you never heard of. I finally got in one on probation with a 12-unit load in Chicago, Illinois. A year later, they threw me out for stealing the conscience fund, which is a long story we don't have time to go into. But my parents had just moved from the snow and ice of Buffalo, New York to Tucson, Arizona, where my brother was a graduate student down there. And I got a job. I wanted, you know, an executive-level position, but I took what was offered me, and that was a janitor's job at Tucson Medical Center. Well, does God work in mysterious ways? My life changed, gentlemen. I'm speaking to you men now. I'm sitting there holding my broom. And this chick walks down the hallway. I have a pure heart. I said, that is a woman. And I paid another janitor $5 to introduce me to her. That same day, I'm mopping the men's restroom, okay? She walks in, and she's helping some little guy go piddle. She was a nurse's aide. And I said, oh, it's her, say something stupid, say something, it's her. So my first words to my wife-to-be were, would you like to go to the World's Fair with me? Oh. The World's Fair is in New York City. This is Tucson, Arizona. And she says, well, I don't know. I said, how about lunch then? And so we went to McDonald's, and we split a 20-cent cheeseburger and a 10-cent Coke. By the way, how many people here are old enough to remember the 15-cent burger? Yes, you're going to die soon. Yes. That's a long time ago, wasn't it? But I'm telling you, I fell in love with this chick, and I'm telling you, when I met her, I was a punk. I smoked Salem cigarettes. I had the greasy hair going on. I walked cool. I thought I was cool. In retrospect, I was an idiot. I was a jerk. And we date for 3.5 months, and she pops the question. And she says, would you like to go to church with me? I remember thinking, holy crudingy, she's one of them. I thought you Christians were the geekiest people known to mankind. I wanted no part of you, and yet I was brought up in a church. My mother prayed for me every day of my life. I went to church with her. I remember sitting in her church thinking, no chick is worth this. Then she wanted me to come back at night. Why would you go back at night? You already been there in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Some of you can identify with that, can't you? In Buffalo, New York, we're all Catholic. And it was that Sunday night, and this guy's talking about the guy who knows who Jesus Christ is in his head, but he didn't know he was in his heart. I knew who he was talking about. He was talking about me, and I wanted nothing to do with it. I tried not to look at that sucker, and every time I did look at him, it seemed like those brown eyes were just looking at me. You talk about being under conviction of God's Holy Spirit. I mean, that night, everything that happened was supernatural, and I walked out of that church clean for the first time. God gave me motivation. I was a terrible student. I just wrote a book that'll be out next year where I took my freshman year report card where I flunked everything. Everything. You talk about hope. You're listening to a guy that was taking consumer's mathematics as a senior in high school. Nancy went to the store with a dollar to buy 4 apples. That's final exam stuff. I'd love to tell you I passed the course. I didn't. You want to be happy? Get to know Jesus Christ in an intimate way. He changes your life. You can talk to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, on I-17, northbound or southbound. If that's not cool, I don't know what is. There's hope for your marriage. If you understand that God was the original humorist, I love this one. This one's really funny, Lord. And the two shall become one. That's easier said than done. Women are so incredibly weird. They do things so much differently than us men, and us men are so incredibly strange. Your husband, ladies, is capable of watching 2 ball games simultaneously in his boxer shorts, eating pizza, belching. Yes, this is your gift from God. I wrote a book called Have a New Husband by Friday, and in that book I say, ladies, think of your husband as a 4-year-old that shaves. He's the simple one, you're the complex one, okay? And God says, yeah, the two of you are so different. We think different, we communicate differently. You women use 3.5 times the number of words that we men use in a given day. Do you know the repercussions of that, ladies? By Thursday this week, your husband is out of words. He's got nothing else to say. I'm over at our State Farm agent. He's a good friend of mine. And we've been friends for years in the same Bible study together. And we cooked steaks out in his backyard and had a nice time. And we're driving home, and Mrs. Uppington starts on. Mrs. Uppington is my wife. I call her Mrs. Uppington because she's the firstborn, classy. I'm not very classy. I'm the baby of the family. She's the firstborn. She's bossy. We're driving home from a nice evening. I want you to hear the conversation. She says, she starts on me. What's new with Joe? Nothing. She says, what do you mean, nothing? I said, there's nothing new with Joe. You asked me what's new with Joe. I'm telling you nothing. She said, well, you've been with him all night. Yeah? So what do you guys talk about when you're out in the backyard cooking the steaks? Nothing. And now she's mad because she thinks I'm withholding information from her. It's possible that this simple husband of yours, ladies, could spend an entire evening with a guy and they could talk about what? Nothing. We're comfortable with nothing. We're comfortable in arm's length relationships. It's you women that hug everything that moves. Women lie like dogs. They don't mean to lie like dogs, but they do. My wife is a shopper. She loves to go shopping. I have four daughters. Three of them are shoppers. One of them's a shopper, a bagger, goes in and bags it. My wife likes to shop in Scottsdale, which is conveniently located just 115 miles from our home. So when she goes with our daughter or her friend Terry, who I just referenced, Joe's wife, and they come up and they shop. They spend the night, okay? I always ask her, honey, what time are you gonna be home? Oh, we'll be home early. We'll be home early. Well, honey, just give me, honey, I told you we'll be home early. Honey, just give me a time. We'll be home by 5. I just wanna know if I'm batching it. Do I go to my daughter's house for dinner? Am I on my own? What am I doing? So as soon as she tells me 5, I add 5 hours to it. And see, your job as a husband or wife is to get behind your wife's eyes, get behind your husband's eyes, and figure out what you're dealing with. She doesn't mean to lie, but when she comes in at 10 to 10 at night, I'm not sitting there like an idiot saying, hey, where you been? You're supposed to be home at 5 o'clock. I've been sitting here. I'm starving. Where, you know, all that stuff. Don't be stupid. I just say, honey, can I help you with anything? Oh, honey, there's all kinds of, would you be sweetie and bring it? Sure, I'd be glad to help you. And I bring in the stuff, then I go to the bedroom and pray for sex. Some of you think I'm not capable. You do slow down. I'm on Social Security, I don't mind telling you that. We're down to 4 or 5 times a week now, but we're dealing with it. Sort of interesting what the Bible says. Listen to this one. This is Ephesians 5. You wives must submit to your husband's leadership in the same way you submit to the Lord, for husband is in charge of his wife in the same way Christ is in charge of his body, the church. He gave his very life to take care of it and be its savior. So your wives must willingly obey your husbands in everything, just as the church obeys Christ. You try selling that on network TV. Submission. Oh, there's a nice word. People don't like the word submission. I got news for you, it's a great word. There's another word people don't like, authority. It's a great word. It's a word that your kids would better understand. But what St. Paul has outlined for us, and up in verse 21, listen to this one, honor Christ by what? Submitting to one another. You gotta know who you're leading, gentlemen. You wanna be the leader? Most of us men lead by proclamation. Ba-ba, ba-ba, we're going to Hawaii. This concludes the male responsibility for the Hawaiian trip. His wife takes care of the other minor details. That's not leadership. How many of you women, I'd like to see a show of hands on this if I could. How many of you women would like a back rub or a foot rub tonight? Hands up. Take a look around, gentlemen. I hope you're taking notice. All right. Now, if Mrs. Uppington was with us tonight, you wouldn't see her hand up. I don't like being rubbed. Scratch me. She likes to be scratched. I've learned how to scratch her. S-shaped on the back. Then backhand. She loves backhand. What's the difference between S-shaped and backhand? I have no idea, but she likes it. Then she loves this. She loves her arms. Then she really likes her arms, her fingers and her hands scratched like this, lightly, just lightly. If I start there, you know what she says? Don't do that. That tickles. Start my back. I'm like a trained seal. But here's what I don't get. If you know what pleases your wife, gentlemen, why don't you do it? You know what foreplay is, gentlemen? Oh, you got silent. I've learned what foreplay is. In my home, it may not be the same in your home. But it's wiping the kitchen counters off. And then check this out. If this isn't absolutely stupid, you have to take the toaster and put it away. even though you're going to use it in less than 24 hours. But see, your job is to understand who this woman is. You want a happy home? You better have a happy wife. And it's those things you do outside of the bedroom that make all the difference in the world. When you're at the supermarket and you call and say, honey, I'm at the store, you need anything? All those little things say what? And see, I think wives look at us every day and say, do you really love me? Do you really care? Mrs. Uppington, she loves Four Fork restaurants. She loves Five Fork restaurants. I grew up in Buffalo. You ever been to Ted's Hot Dogs way on the other side of town? That's gourmet dining to me, okay? And so I take her to the Four Forker. She loves the Four Forker. She loves the presentation. And afterward, I take her to a hotel. I pull in this hotel. And she's like this, like an ostrich, looking for her young, you know. What are we doing? What are we doing? I said, honey, we're going to the hotel. She says, this is a quote. I know what you got in your mind, but I'm not going in there. Now, I would call that a wife that has an uncooperative spirit. Well, I go over to open the door for her, and she's locked the door. I got the key in my hand. I literally pull her up. Body language, here she is. Which means I'm going to go, but you're not going to have a good time. And we go up there. We go into this room, king-size bed, next to the bed. Two books I bought for her that afternoon. Three baby red roses for her. Books are her best friends in many ways. She's a voracious reader. I pull back the sheets. I order room service for her. This is 9:45 at night. Triple layer cake, real coffee, kiss her goodnight, and go home and become Mr. Mom. Now, you want to make love to your wife? You make love to your wife outside of the bedroom. It's the little things you do. There's not a woman here who loves Christ who doesn't want you to be a spiritual leader. The problem is women have a hard time keeping their mouth shut and yet letting you lead the way you need to lead. I got news for you, ladies. We're different than you. And by the way, while we're on the subject, we don't like your questions. Cállate tu boca. You know what I'm saying? Don't ask the questions. And we hate the word why. Would you, if you want your husband, Dr. Lehman, my husband, he doesn't talk to me. Well, maybe it's because you're always talking. You know, we do the same thing to kids. It's crazy what we do. You want to get close in marriage? Pray together. Not he prays and she prays, but you pray together. You'll hear things out of your husband's mouth, your wife's mouth, that you never knew were in her heart, if you'll just take the time to pray together. There's hope for your parenting journey if you understand the word authority. See, most of us grew up in authoritarian homes. Hey, you go and do what I tell you to do. Hey, don't make me come over there. Hey, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. That's the authoritarian. There's only one way to rear a kid today. I sound like I'm painting myself in the corner. There's only one way, and that is to bring your kid up in authority. Now, is God an authoritarian, or is God the supreme authority? He's not an authoritarian. He doesn't grab us by the scruff of the neck, twist our earlobe, and say, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. But as Scripture says, every knee shall what? Bow. So he is the authority. Today, parents walk 5 feet, you meet the permissive parent. Oh, Dr. Lehman, we believe every child should be a winner. Every child should get a trophy. So we've enrolled Melissa in non-competitive soccer. The Christian home needs to be a place where kids learn to fail. I'd like to meet the person after church service who came to Christ through victory. You didn't come to Christ through victory. You came to Christ just like I did, realizing that pastor was talking the truth. And I came to my senses and said, Lord, I'm yours. And you got to fork it all over. You can't cut a deal. And that's what we're so good at as people. Ephesians 6, listen to it. Not many places that really nail parenting, but here it is. Children, obey your parents. It's the right thing to do because God has placed them in authority over you. Honor your father and mother. This is the first of God's Ten Commandments. It ends with a promise. And this is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, yours will be a long life full of blessing. I call St. Paul the equal opportunity employer because he turns around now and he says to parents, And now a word to you parents. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with a loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. What do you do when your kid slams the door? Hey, don't be slamming the door in this house, young man. That's the authoritarian. What do you do when your kid rolls her eyes? That little pubescent. Don't you roll your eyes at me, young lady. I'll give you something to roll your eyes about. Okay, that's the authoritarian. You're the adult. Do you think you could do things different? In this little book, Have a Happy Family by Friday, I'd say, the words you choose to use, if you have a relationship that's not a good one between yourself and a kid, or between yourself and your mate, try this. Don't ask him any questions. None. Oh, Dr. Lehman, excuse me. I must respectfully disagree with you. I've read a couple of your books. I've heard you on Focus on the Family for years, but I really believe, like, when Melanie comes home from school, I always ask Melanie, how was your day at school tonight, honey? Fine. What'd you do in school today? Nothing. Teenager, where you been? Out. What'd you do? Nothing. Save your breath. Now, if you must ask him a question, how about this one? Honey, could I ask your opinion about something? Do you want your kid to talk to you? There it is. And when the kid, by the way, puts that CD in the music in your car, what do most of you say? Hey, would you turn that down? I can't hear myself think. My suggestion, turn to your kid and say, honey, turn that up. Kid looks at you and goes, what? Hey, turn that up. And the kid can't believe it. He turns it up a little bit. Louder. And when it gets loud, start bumping around the wheel. If you don't talk to that kid, they're going to become what I call slamming clickers. They come home from school, they go to their bedroom, they slam and click their door, and then they text like a woodpecker that's got ADHD to all their buddies. And they shut you completely out of their life. You want to have an impact on your kid? You got to get there. I start this book with a case. A 14-year-old comes home and announces, just like, buh-buh, buh-buh, we're going to Hawaii. He says, I'm half owner of a motorcycle. He's 14 years old. His buddy's older brother talked him into giving him $200. He saved all summer to be half owner. What would you say, Dad? I'll tell you what you'd say. What? You are the sucker of the year. You did what? You are 14 years of age. You don't even have a driver's permit. What do you mean you're half owner? You think we'd let you drive a motorcycle anyway? What is wrong with you? If a bird had your brain, he'd fly sideways. What is wrong with you? Now, what does a kid do? He takes off, goes to his bedroom, slams the door, doesn't talk with his dad for 3 days. The dad knows me, calls me from the Midwest. Kevin, what do I do? I said, the first thing you do is apologize. Me apologize? Yeah, you're the adult here. Knock on the door. Now listen to these words. Tell me about your bike. You ladies would be so smart to be listening to what I'm saying right now. When your husband says something that's even vaguely of interest to you, say, tell me more about that. He'll actually talk to you. Don't ask him questions, because he'll go like Harry the Turtle and get under his little turtle, and he ain't coming out till you go away. It's all about changing your words. This guy talked with his little 14-year-old kid. He said, Kevin, I was amazed at what he knew about motorcycles. I arranged to do a walkthrough up at a place in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Our entire relationship turned around. Thanks for the great tip. Tell me more about that. Isn't that interesting? That's a command in the English language, but it doesn't put the defenses up. We're talking about hope for your family. One of the best things I said in a little book called Have a New Kid by Friday is this: an unhappy child is a healthy child. And there's times your son or daughter, friend, has to be unhappy. Why? Because they got their mouth running at you. They did something that was inappropriate. They violated a family rule. I think every kid needs vitamin N, which is no. Every kid needs vitamin E, which is encouragement. You got to walk with these kids. I mean, how many of us wouldn't take a bullet for our kids? I would. I got five of them. I'd take a bullet for any of them. But there's been times I pulled the rug out from underneath them. I'm not going to let them rag on me. They're not going off on their mouth, ever. And that's what training is all about. For you single parents that run on guilt, be as consistent as you can. Don't badmouth that ex no matter what. Don't be afraid to to tell that child no. He doesn't need you to be his best friend. He or she has several of them. Do your kids in a home or hotel? You know, most of us in America, you know what we do? We rear our kids in hotels. What does that mean? It means we give them room service, food service, and little is expected of them. You want to be happy? You want to have a happy family? Don't be afraid to get up and be the parent you need to be. Now, there's hope for your family if you'll have fun. Fun seems, I don't understand how Christian people can't have fun. If you know the living God, and you have a smile on your face, I don't get it. We do a cruise once a year. This year it's Luis Palau, myself, Dennis Swanberg, Sherry Keggy. We go down to the Caribbean. I tell people in churches all over America, in Canada too, I say, if you're a fun person, if you're a fun couple, we'd love to have you come on our cruise this February. And if you're not, we'd prefer you stay home. I just don't get it. Our 27-year-old daughter this summer, it was her birthday, June 30th. I said to her, I said, Hannah, what would you like to do special for your birthday? Dad, could we have a parade? Sure, we'll have a parade. It's Lehman tradition. On birthorderguide.com, you'll find it somewhere. There's a video of us having a parade for Hannah's 27th birthday. Everybody puts on a silly hat. You get a pot or a pan. You get a spatula. We turn on the jukebox to Disney Electric Parade, which is really sort of funky music, and we all parade around the house. That's the same kid when she was 9 years old and it was birthday time. I said, Hannah, what would be special for you for your birthday? She thought for a minute and she said, to have all my family there, Dad. See, she was a surprise. She had three older siblings. She didn't say, oh, Dad, take me to that cheese breath rodent's place and fill my hands with those little tokens. She wanted her family there. You know what? I have five grown kids. You know what they do? They all want to be together. They all have each other's back. They like their parents. I got news for you. Your kids don't hang out with people they don't feel comfortable with. But guess what? You don't either. So you either enter these kids' lives or they're going to systematically shut you out of theirs. There's hope for your happy family by Friday if you learn this. Reach for imperfection. Reach for imperfection. Not perfection, imperfection. John 14 is one of my favorite passages in all of God's Word. And it's the time when Jesus knows that he's got to get on that cross. And does he want to get on that cross? No. The human part of Jesus wanted no part of that cross. And he gets everybody together and he says, hey, fellas, listen up. This is important. Peter, put your fork down. Eyes up here. I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I've searched the Bible. I couldn't find 12 dumber people than the disciples. Those guys are dumb as mud. They didn't get it. They walked and talked with Jesus. They saw him perform miracles before their very eyes. Feed the 5,000, heal the blind, you know. People just wanted to touch Jesus. Did a pretty good job with Lazarus. They didn't get it. You know, on that first Easter, where did you find the disciples? They were hid behind closed door. And all of a sudden, in their midst, appears Jesus. What do you think that conversation was like? Oh, Lord, we were just saying any second now you'd be here. No, I'm telling you, they were checking their pants. They couldn't believe what they just saw. We said, we saw you die. They were living in fear of their very lives. And they walked and talked with Jesus. You ever feel like you don't measure up? You didn't do it right? You're in good company. Because the disciples bellied up as well. Why did Jesus allow himself to be seen by so many people after that first day he came out of the tomb? He spoke to a crowd of 500. The ladies, a lot of people saw Jesus. Why? Do you think it was because he knew how hard it is for some of us to believe? I think so. Jesus was the perfect one. All the rest of us fall short. Can you be a better Christian? It's a question. Can you be a better Christian? It's a sucker question. Be careful how you answer it. You can't be a better Christian. You either love God with all your heart or you don't. In fact, over in Revelation, Jesus said, if you're lukewarm about me, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. That's something to think about. But we make deals with God. Oh, Lord, I'm yours, all 96%. I've done it. Lord, let me drive. Let me drive. I can drive. I'm a capable driver. Mile down the road of life, crash. First word out of Kevin Lehman's mouth. Lord, you there? Is that you, Lehman? Yeah. Just call me a little tow truck, get me out of here. It's on its way, fat boy. He is able and just to what? Forgive us of our sin. And speaking of your sin, the sin you're going to commit next week, it's already forgiven. Jesus Christ came to this earth to put an end to religion. It's not religion, it's relationship. My friend Josh McDowell, God bless Josh, he said one profound thing in his entire ministry on this earth. One thing. But it was so profound, I stole it from him. He said, rules without relationship lead to what? Rebellion. How many of you have little drawings on your refrigerator door that kids did? Would you put your hand up and humor me for a second? Now, here's the question. Are those little pictures kids did any good? Good. I'd say they're downright precious, Lehman. My little grandson, Timothy, drew that picture right there of that airplane for his grandma. Oh, ma'am, with all due respect, I talked to Timothy, and that is not an airplane. It's a dinosaur. Well, it's still precious. And I would suggest to you today that as God looks at you and I right now, all he sees is these little imperfect pictures, these little drawings. My high school put me on their wall of fame. That's sort of funny. Driving up, my mother, 95, she lived to be 95. I said, Ma, we fooled a few people, didn't we? Oh, I am so proud of you, honey. I am so proud of you. I said, Ma, remember the night the cops brought me home? Oh, I do. But you were such a good boy. Mom, do you remember the time I got caught driving golf balls toward the New York State Thruway? Oh, I do. But you were such a good boy. You know, all I could think of was Romans 8:39 that says, nothing separates us from the love of Christ. And that's how we have to be as family. You love your kids anyway. Are there times you'd like to UPS them to a far-off land? Yes, there is. But you make a difference, and there's hope for us. If we find ourselves in Jesus Christ, put a smile on our face, admit we're wrong, apologize, be open with those we love, it's possible to have a happy home. It's as simple as that. Let me pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this group of people. Thanks for this vibrant church that does so many things well. Lord, I know you smile when Christians do things well. We love you. We want to please you. Do we fall short today? We do. Will we fall short this week? We will. But the good news is, Lord, that your grace is bountiful. And we're so thankful that there's such an abundance of grace because, as you know and I know and everybody in this room knows, we need it. So, Lord, let us continue this journey to be a good parent, to be a good mate, to try to please you in as many ways in life as we possibly can. Thank you for loving us, Lord. I pray you will pour your bounty upon every person here and every family here. And thank you for this great weekend. We look forward to great things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.